Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Also, the pastor of the most wonderful church in the world, New Vision for Life Church. Yes, it is the most wonderful church in the world, simply because it's what God has designed just for us. And whatever he designs for us is wonderful. So I say thank you, Almighty God, for the best church that you could have given to me and that you've allowed me to share in. So I am ecstatic and very, very happy. Hallelujah, and to God be the glory. Yes, beloved, this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. And no, I did not forget to say good morning to my co-host. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good morning, beautiful. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful. I am wonderful. I am wonderful. I don't know why I'm silly today, but to God be the glory. Amen. I'm happy to be alive. I can say that part. I am happy to be alive. That means that the mission or the assignment that God has on my life is not over, and I still have time to reach those that he's given me to reach. So hallelujah that. Amen.
Isn't that marvelous? Folks, do you hear that? Do you hear the excitement in her voice? I tell you, to know that she is alive and she is willing, ready, and know that she's able by Holy Spirit, to go forth and do her assignment. That is awesome. That is so awesome. Well, beloved, you've made me even a couple of more degrees happier today and more joyful. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that somebody else is out here in the field working as well, and got a desire to do what God has called them to do? You know, sometimes you can feel like Elijah in the Bible, where he said, "I'm the only one left," and God had to show him that there were many more prophets out there, hundreds of prophets that were left. Okay. To do the beckoning of the Lord, and he was just like, "It's only me. Woe is me." You know? Bless his heart. Yeah. And we know we feel that way, don't we? Sometimes.
Yeah,
we do. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, yes, I'm telling you, God, I'm the one that goes to all the meetings, and I'm the one that does this, that, and the other, and I'm the one. God, can't anybody else do it? I'm the only one that's serving you, Lord God. The rest of this world is on lockdown. And God has to remind us, baby girl, you're not the only one. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, good morning again, saints, to you. Good morning. I pray that you will find joy in your serving the Lord. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. I love you so much. We've got to get together. I need a Tamika hug. So we've got to set a date, you know, for us to get together and do that. And, of course, we have to have Mom along with us, Joyce Richardson. Good morning to you, beloved. So it's time, you know, at least yearly, we must get together and go and do our breakfast, lunch, and or dinner. And this year I want to include Tamika in, because Joyce, I know that you are knowing her more because you're on the radio, you know, here with us, so you are knowing her more and more. And so we're going to turn our threesome into a foursome, and let's do so before the end of the year. Now, the rest of you that are hearing this, don't get jealous. Your beloved me, Apostle Banks, loves to eat. You know, so that's just one eating group. I will gladly accept a dinner or a lunch invitation from anyone else on this line that wants to feed the apostle. And if you wanna call me a prophet at that time, you can get a prophet's reward. And I'm taking the word out of context, but you know what I mean. Praise be unto God. So good morning to you too. Good morning to Joyce in New York. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. I love you. And still basking in the presence of the Lord. The fire is still burning. Praise God. Good morning to Michelle Stevens. God bless you, woman of God. Just truly a blessing to my heart. Good morning to Marisha. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Crawford, and his wife, Songbird Crawford, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, my nephew. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning to all of New Vision. We love you. Praise be unto God. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful day. And somebody may say the sun isn't shining. Well, the S-U-N may not be shining right now, but the S-O-N is blazing, shining, I'm telling you. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. So good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning again to Deacon Thomas Farr, who is one of the greatest men that I know. And I'm thanking him one more time for covering our show 2 weeks ago. Just an awesome job. Thank God for him. And I pray that all is well with him this morning. I pray that all is well with him. And, beloved, do you have anyone that you want to say good morning to, hon?
Good morning to all of our listeners. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to join us. I don't know if some of you are like me. I love my bed. I like to sleep. I like to be in it. I like to be under the covers. And now that it is getting colder, I really like to be under the covers. If you're like me and don't want to get up, I understand. And that means, you know, I really appreciate you even more because you, I mean, now granted, you may still be under the covers.
Right.
But at least, right. But at least you're on the line and you're listening because you could still be sleeping if you wanted to. So we appreciate you for taking time out to either set, put an alarm on your phone to wake you up around this time to join us. We really, really appreciate the hour that you give us every Saturday. And we don't take that for granted. So thank you so much.
Amen. 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 You know, something just hit me. Something just hit me. And, I've got to figure out how to do this, but I want to see if I can get a sponsor, let's say like somebody that owns a spa and will donate a free massage, okay? Will donate a free massage. And be able to give that away to one of our listeners, but the way that the listener would be a listener contest, and the way that the listener would win the contest, we would give everybody 2 weeks maybe to have to invite people to the radio show. And when we have the new callers come in, you know, they have to tell us who invited them to the show. And the person that had the most people call into the show, that person could win the free massage. So how does that idea sound to you?
It sounds awesome to me. Yes.
Sounds
Let's
awesome.
Go for it.
Yeah. Let's go for it. Okay, and I think I'm going to start calling people, you know, to call in because I need the massage.
You are so
Wow.
I guess I have to have the rules in there that the host and the co-host cannot participate.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You know how they put those things in those contests. You know, we can't participate. Your family members can't participate and all of that
right.
stuff. But whatever the case may be. But I think we'll run a listener's contest one day and have something like that, you know, to have the free massage or something, you know, and do that on a regular basis. So I know you can't write things down right now, but make a note of that, and that's something that we can work on. And to the listeners that are on and hearing us talking about this right at this moment, you too can send us suggestions on what type of giveaway would you like, you know, that we might do. And don't be asking me for a week's vacation. It is not happening, okay? You know, if you want a day off from work, I'll gladly call your boss and tell them that you can't make it to work. I'll gladly call them and tell them. But send to us the heart-to-heart with the number 2, heart-to-heart at newvisionforlife.com. Email me. Email, that's right. Yes, email me, email us, and at heart-to-heart at newvisionforlife.com, and tell us what type of gift you would appreciate for being one of our faithful listeners. And also, we will take show ideas from you that you can send in as well. And if you have people that you would like that you think may like to sponsor some time on the show and be interviewed by us, you know, for their book or for their health products or something like that, and they would be sponsoring the show at that time. So if you've got somebody that you think that would be interested in that, send all of that to heart-to-heart at newvisionforlife.com. Amen, amen, amen. Well, all right, beloved, if you would be so kind, honey, as to go ahead and do our opening prayer for us this morning, I would truly appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for just joining us on this line. And we just give this line over to you right now that you may have your way, that you may speak through us, oh God, that you may touch the listeners, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Father God, that everything, Lord, that people may be going through, Lord, I just pray that you just comfort them even through these times, Lord God, that you will comfort them when they don't know, when they're unsure, when there is uncertainty, Lord God, that you, Father God, will just comfort them. They may not get the answer that they want, but God, comfort them in the midst of it, Father God. But you know those that are on this line that may be heavy this morning, and you know those that aren't heavy. You know those that are rejoicing through good times and bad times. And Father, we just give you the utmost praise in the name of Jesus, because you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you don't change your mind about us even when we're disobedient and we just feel like we know it all. You still love us. You love us with that unconditional love. And God, I just thank you, because if you did us the way that we do you, or the way that we treat other people, Father, we would be so messed up, because you are the one that keeps us through those things that we go through. You still extend that love towards us even when we don't reciprocate it, but you still continue to do it. And so, Father, we thank you for your consistency. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We just thank you, Father, for just how you love us, Father. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us, Father. And we just give you praise. And we just thank you, Father God, for the times, Lord God, when we were in dark places and couldn't see our way out. And you sent your light, Father, so that we could see. We want to give you praise. We thank you, Father God, for the things that we've been through, that we're out of it now. We overcame those things, and now, Lord God, we're in a different place. But God, we know that we will never, stop going through things, because these things strengthen us. It builds our character. It builds our patience. And so, Father God, we know that there are times where we're going to have to walk through some storms. But as long as we have you, we have already mastered it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we put on our full armor of God right now to withstand the things of the enemy, the things that come our way, the things that seem so hard, Father God, that we just want to die in it or just give up on it. But, Father, I declare on this line that we will not give up on the things that you've given us to do. We will not give up, Father God, on the process in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, the process
Hallelujah.
Is hard. Hallelujah. But there is a reward at the end. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. If we could just hold on, if we could just hold on, the end of the tunnel is near. If we could just hold on, Father God. So, Father, help us to hold on. Help us to hold on in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
because
glory.
Many of us are right at the end of the tunnel, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us are right at the end of the tunnel, Lord God. Don't let us give up. Don't let us give up, God. Give us a glimpse, Father God, of what our lives look like so that we can hold on, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray for the mothers and fathers, oh God, that have lost their children. I pray, Father God, for their strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would continue to keep them holding on, Father God, and that you would minister to them, Lord, and let them know that they aren't forgotten, and that even though their child's life was taken on the streets, God, that you still love them. And I pray, Lord, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, I pray for my sister-in-law who lost her son on the streets of Baltimore about a month or so ago, and then his father got killed about 2 weeks ago. So, Father, I just lift the family up. Lord God, I lift them up to you in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I just pray, Father God, that you would just this murdering, Father God, of our young people, God, I pray that it would cease and desist in the name of Jesus. So we give you glory even through this, Lord God, even though, Father God, this right here, Lord God, is really heavy. And it's not just the young men anymore. The women are being included as well. And so, Father, we Father God, stand in the gap for our young people, that you, Father God, would keep their lives and protect them, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that they would turn their lives over to you before it's too late, in the name of Jesus, God, and kill that spirit of having them thinking that they have so long to get their lives together, like that spirit that lies to them and tells them that they can wait till they grow old in order to become saved, God. We kill that lie right now in the name of
Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus.
That they would run to the altar, oh God, and give their lives over to you. Because now we see that tomorrow is not promised. So, Father, we just give you glory on this line. And we come together as a group, Lord God. And we agree on this line, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, and so we just thank you right now, Father God, that the lives of our young people, Lord God, will be saved, and they will stop dying on the streets of Baltimore and anywhere else, Father God, that they're dying. Because it's not just here, Father, it's not just here. So we just thank you even now that your will be done in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, oh God. Amen. 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 Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Thanks to God, the presence of God is here on this line. He is here, he is here, he is here. Is there something that you need from the Lord? This is a good time for you to put your request and make it known before him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the prayers. I thank you for the the manifestation of his presence here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Many lives are being lost. Many people are waiting, thinking that they will have time on their deathbeds, you know, to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And many people are being deceived. They're being deceived. My God, they're being deceived. So we do pray that the spirit of deceit be lifted in the name of Jesus. Be lifted in the name of Jesus. We do pray that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise be unto God.
Amen.
Mm,
God be
yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all, I think I told you last week, I'm not sure. I know I mentioned it on New Visions Prayer Line, so I want to mention it here on this line if I didn't say it. And even if I did, I guess I'm saying it again. But I want to give God thanks. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Y'all hear me mentioning Isaiah in Chicago. And just within the last 2 weeks, he received two kidney transplants. He had both of his kidneys replaced, and he was on the transplant list for a while. And he was blessed with two kidneys. He just went home from the hospital on yesterday. So we want to give God praise and glory, and I pray that you know, his body holds on to it, doesn't reject them, and that he lives a long life. Also, yes, I guess I'm going to call her a member of our church. She's definitely a financial supporter, and her heart is with us. And when she does come to church, she comes to New Vision. Her health isn't well, and that's Lady Pat, who needs a liver transplant. She had one before, and it held up for a few years, and she's in need of another liver. So I'm asking you if you would please keep her on your prayer list and keep Minister Brian Bordley, who's a member of our church, who needs a kidney transplant. And so that's my list of transplants and transplantees, you know, that is needed. So I do ask you to pray, because God knows prayer changes things. Prayer just truly, truly changes things. It changes people, and people change things, okay? So to God be the glory. Just keep them up. And if you don't remember their name, it's okay. You remember my name. And just ask the Lord to make available, you know, donors, for the people that I have mentioned. You don't have to know their name. God knows their name. And so just ask for that. And hear me when I say this. I pray that that they are live donors, you know, people who didn't have to give their life but share their life. And granted, we know that when people pass away due to car accidents and whatever else, you know, if they are donors, you know, their organs can and will be used. And so when I ask for live donors, those organs from the people that are deceased are just as good. The thing I'm hitting on is I don't want somebody to have to pass so somebody else can live. So that's why I was asking live donors. But if someone else, however, if someone else does pass, thank God that good can still come out of it, that good can still come out of it as they are sharing their organs with others. So just want to, you know, make that known. Just want to make that known. Okay. So, listen, today, what we're going to be discussing today, and I had put it on Facebook last night, In fact, when I posted this on Facebook last night, Tamika, she was the very first person to basically give a thumbs up, like, I see you, I hear you, sis, and to give a thumbs up, the very first one. It wasn't up there for about a minute or so before she responded. And I said, okay, so Lord, thank you. You know that this is a topic that we need to discuss. And, you know, there are times when we are looking for topics, we're praying and saying, Lord, what would you have us to do? And there are times when I already have an idea in mind, or Tabika already has an idea in mind, and we can get right up to the hour before we're going on the show, and God changes that all up. He changes it up. And but last night we put this out on the internet, and we got, you know, some positive response to it, people saying, yes, you know, we need to hear that. And so what we're talking about today is signs of emotional abuse. Signs of emotional abuse. And this came from the website of FocusOnTheFamily.com. FocusOnTheFamily.com. And so that is where this comes from. James Dobson is the he is the head of Focus on the Family. And he's someone that I have been following for years. We have done many of their teachings here on the line, especially dealing with marriages. You know, he focuses on the family. So dealing with marriages, dealing with teens, et cetera, you know, this is a great site to get information from, a great site. So we are looking at the signs of emotional abuse. And there are distinct differences between an unhealthy exchange and verbal or emotional abuse. And married people especially need to understand and recognize the difference between the two. Counselors have often used this term, emotional and verbal abuse, to describe an abusive relationship that doesn't involve physical harm. And so the term is used interchangeably. And there are slight nuances between the two. And, slight nuances between the two. But the verbal with the emotional abuse still comes out to have profound emotional consequences. Excuse me one moment, please. I have got to cough, and I'm trying to hold it back a moment. Just let me mute out for one moment so I can cough. Please forgive me. Hold on. Okay, thank you for your patience. Thank you. I'm still clearing my lungs from upper respiratory infection. So, you know, please forgive me, and thank you for your patience. Okay, so let's look at some signs for verbal abuse. Let's look at some signs, because there are definitely emotional consequences dealing with verbal abuse and dealing with emotional abuse. But here are some examples of the verbal abuse. We have verbal intimidation. People can intimidate you by saying certain things to you, and all of this, these three things will be under the verbal abuse part. Here is an example, like, if you don't do, let's say, if you don't cook for me, if you don't cook for me, I'll make sure your life is miserable, you stupid, whatever you want to call them, you stupid idiot, you know, whatever that you may be called. You may be called by your nationality. If you don't do such and such for me, I'll make sure your life is miserable, you stupid. And you use a term, a derogatory term that describes their ethnic background, or one that describes their gender. using a word that people use to speak to women very demeaningly, and y'all know the word. You know, I'm not even going to say the letter or anything. You know the word, and that is verbal intimidation. Verbal intimidation, and that is abusive. That is very, very abusive. You know, one can. Well, let me go on and give the rest of these, the other two, and before we expound on that. There's verbal aggression. Verbal aggression. Someone, you and someone, whether it's your mate or your child, oh my God, grown children that abuse their parents, it's not unheard of. You know, bosses that verbally abuse their employees and so forth. So a form of verbal aggression is, what did you say? Remember the last time you said something like that? Boom. Frightening, intimidating, very aggressive, reminding you something happened to you the last time you spoke like that to this person. Do you want to go through that again? And trust me, with the way that this is coming off, it wasn't that they gave you a gift or something pleasant when you spoke like that. So that's verbal aggression. And then there's the verbal humiliation. My God, how well I know that one. Wow, that was really dumb. What were you thinking? Oh, wait, you weren't thinking. This is name calling and often happens in public or in front of family. How many of us have experienced that same thing? How many of us, here it comes. How many of us have said those same things, not thinking that it was verbally abusive? Not thinking that it was abusive on its own. We may not have said, okay, this example said, wow, that was dumb. What were you thinking? I know. You weren't thinking. Listen, let me repent and let me say right now, that's one of the things that I would have said. That is one of the things that I would have said, and that never said it to a child, but definitely have said it to a man, not even a woman, but have said it to a man. What is wrong with you? What were you thinking? Oh, never mind. I know you weren't thinking, you know. And so I will confess that I have said that to men. I have said that in the past, before the cross, before salvation. I have gotten wiser. And Holy Spirit, you know, has dealt with me with using that type of verbiage, but that's verbal humiliation. And I've never said it in public and never said it in front of other people, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I said it to the person, and that hurt the person. And so this is truly, truly a form of abuse. And when I got convicted of doing that, I never thought about it still as being abusive. I know it was being demeaning. I know it wasn't edifying the person. And I realized, you know, in my walk with the Lord that we are to speak edification to one another. We are to love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, support one another, build one another up. Those are the type of things that we are supposed to be doing with one another. Definitely not doing anything like this, being demeaning. There are so many strong, strong women that will demean the men in their lives, you know, and so we must be careful. I have heard so many women men as well. I've heard so many talk to children and just put and sow these seeds of the intimidation, the aggression, the humiliation, you know, it's sad, you know. It is so sad, but it is definitely a gateway. It is a gateway for the enemy to come in and place on that wound, because that becomes a wound, and it placing on that wound the spirit of rejection, the spirit of intimidation, and so forth. It places that on that person. The person that you have spoken to, they lose their sense of identity, purpose, self-worth, and dignity. Over time, you know, the person can develop a spirit of sarcasm themselves and insulting others because they have been insulting, name calling, and so forth. Husbands may threaten harm or isolate their wives and refuse to be pleased with anything that she does. And, of course, the wife can also be the abusive spouse in the relationship. I've seen it over and over again. And so verbal abuse can be overt and aggressive, characterized by yelling and making threats. Or it can be subtle, resulting in a form of manipulation. Saints of God, we must be careful on what comes out of our mouths, how we say the things that we say, and who we are saying them to. I'm telling you, it truly, truly makes a difference. It makes a difference. And once you become saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit of God convicts you, you know, when you're speaking wrong, when you're not speaking like Christ, you should be convicted. You should be convicted. And listen, beloved, listen. Ooh, hallelujah. Convicted but not condemned. Understand that. Convicted but not condemned. The devil condemns us. Holy Spirit convicts us. And in that conviction, giving us an opportunity to repent, to turn around, to turn away from those sad, sick ways that we used to communicate with one another, and begin to speak with the heart of God, begin to speak and have a mind, the mind of Christ, and the will to do that which is right. This is what the Lord is calling on us to do. So while the emotional and verbal abuse go hand in hand, some of the warnings of the emotionally abusive relationship is this, especially if you are a spouse. The person uses sarcasm to hurt you. In an emotionally abusive relationship, a spouse will use sarcasm to demean, insult, and criticize, but disguise it as joking. Oh, my God. Look. Have you heard that? And babies, listen. See, this is why I tell you, you know, we need to get others to get on here and listen to this. Because how many times you with a group of people have gone out and you've heard a spouse demean their spouse and do it and say it's joking, and everybody in the group laughs at it because you don't want to be left out because you didn't laugh. You didn't really want to laugh because you know it hurts the person that's being demeaned, but you'd rather laugh at them being demeaned than you being rejected for not laughing and being left out. Laughing at jokes that aren't really jokes. They're insulting remarks that have been made. I know all of us have seen that, have heard it. What about the person that demands 24/7 check-ins? There is a difference between knowing where your partner is and micromanaging his or her every move. You know, when excuse me, when new couples, especially this happens a lot with teenagers, and women in their 20s, when you first start on a relationship and the guy tells you, you know, call me and let me know that you got to your destination safely. Let me know you got home all right. Let me know this, that, and the other. At first, it sounds so loving, and some of it is. He's concerned about you. He wants to know that I'm okay. Beware, beloved, because, I mean, and I do that with my church members. If we're someplace and we separate and go home, we both say, call me and let me know you made it home safely. We do that. But I don't want you to call me after you got home safely. Call me and let me know that you got in bed okay. Call me when you wake up in the morning. Call me when you're leaving the house in the morning. Call me when you get to work in the morning. Call me when you're going to lunch. Call me on your break. Call me when you get back to your break, from your break. Call me when you're leaving work. Call me while you're on the road so I can talk to you while you're driving and be sure that you're driving okay. Call me when you get home, and we start that cycle all over again. Beloved, that is not love. That is not love. checking for someone's safety is one thing. 24/7 check-in is a whole nother ball game. A whole nother ball game. Be careful. This could be a person with control issues and so forth. It is emotionally abusive. Another form of emotional abuse is the people that focus in on shortcomings and belittles your accomplishment. The food is never right. The towels aren't folded correctly. The house is never clean enough. You never make enough money. Nothing is ever good enough. Now, when you accomplish something, it is quickly dismissed, belittled, or ignored. Feeling like as if you never do anything right is a hallmark of an emotionally abusive relationship. Beloved, I am sorry, you know, if any of you that are listening to this morning, if you are experiencing any of this, you know, sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it hurts. So, you know, somebody may not have brought it to your attention, or maybe someone did bring it to your attention and you dismissed it. You said they were just jealous of you. And, you know, whatever it is that you could come up with to push it off and not have to pay attention to it and do something about it. Well, you're hearing about it today here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, beloved, if you are experiencing any of these things, and I've got two more things to do with you on the emotional side, but if you are experiencing any of these things, you need to seek help. You need to seek help, beloved. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't hide behind it, because this definitely can ruin you for life if you don't get help. The next thing that is done that's emotionally abusive is that they withhold things to punish you. In a healthy marriage, one spouse doesn't punish the other by withholding or using affection, sex, or money as bargaining tools. That doesn't mean couples don't struggle with differences in these areas. People do struggle with differences in these areas, but when they use it to punish you, you ever seen where a wife and a husband have a disagreement? And the wife says, fine, that's how you feel? Well, I'll show you. And they won't wash the clothes, they won't clean the house, they won't cook. They won't do anything for the man. They are punishing him by withholding something that they would normally do as a wife. Or what about the husband who takes the car keys, won't let her drive, won't stay around so that he can watch the children, so that she can keep her regular date with her girlfriends, et cetera, et cetera. When they're withholding things to punish you, that is a form of emotional abuse. They're doing that because you have neglected to do something that they said you should do. So, again, beloved, beware. And listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. Remember when I said that the truth hurts? The truth hurts. But also remember that the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. And he who the Son has set free is free indeed. It's free indeed. It may hurt, but your freedom, your peace comes from Christ. And therefore, know the truth and do something about it. And also remember that Christ is truth. He is truth. All right, the last one we have listed here is they go from hot to cold without reason. If your spouse suffers from significant mood swings and is not dealing with bipolar disorder, he or she may be abusive. You may describe his or her behavior as Jekyll and Hyde. That's right, as Jekyll and Hyde. Beware of these emotional mood swings. That is emotional abuse. You walk around on eggshells, fearing that if the sweet person that's in front of you right now, if you do something that the slightest veering off to what they expect, want, or desire, that person will go from zero with his peace and calm in the air and atmosphere to 10, being very explosive, yelling and cursing and banging things and breaking things all over something simple. Listen, let me give you an example here. There was this couple, and the kitchen was set up in a certain way. And one day, the wife decided, you know, to do some deep cleaning. So she did the deep cleaning, and she shifted some things around, you know, in the kitchen where you have your silverware, and then you have your cooking utensils, and the drawer for your junk drawer, and the drawer that you may keep your pot holders and hand towels and, you know, whatever the case may be, but that whole thing that you have going on there around the sink area or your counter where you've got all of these drawers for things. Well, she switched the drawers around and you know, put things in different drawers. So the husband comes home from work, and he goes into the drawer where he knew things were. That's where they were when he left. That's the way it's been for the last 5 years. And he reaches in for something, and what he wanted was not there. So he opens up another drawer, and it wasn't in that one. And he slams that drawer closed. Then he reaches into a third drawer, and he couldn't find it there. And instead of slamming that one closed, he yanks it out and throws it across the floor. And everything that was in it is flying across the floor. And the woman goes running in and like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, well, where is the blankety so-and-so? What did you do in here? Why did you change these things? Well, I can't find what I'm looking for. Honey, it's right here. And there it was. You know, he pulled out drawer one and two on one side. There are three drawers on that side. And he pulled out drawer number three, but on the other side. And so he didn't pull out the bottom drawer, and it was right there. But he went into a rampage. He went from zero to 10 or to 100, however you want to describe it, all because something was moved, it was changed, and that almost caused physical abuse, but definitely verbal abuse came out of it. Verbal abuse came out of it. Beloved, beware, beware, beware. It is a rough situation, and sometimes, you know, we want to excuse it, we talk it off, we act like it's no big deal, but honey, watch out. There are some big deals in here, big deals in here. Listen, in addition to the spouse's action and communication, your own behavior and emotions can indicate that you are in an emotionally abusive relationship. Here, you are extremely careful to avoid conflict. You try not to stir up trouble or create problems. Your behavior may seem kind, compassionate, and considerate from the outside, but you're sacrificing your own needs and identity to avoid upsetting your spouse. The second thing is, you apologize when you've done nothing wrong. Oh, hello, everybody. When I was a young bride, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, I'm sorry was my middle name. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And my mother and my siblings would be at the house, and they would hear me with my mate, and I'm sorry. And they'd be, what are you sorry for? You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. That is a sign that there is emotional or verbal abuse on hand. So learning to own your mistakes and apologize are keys to healthy marriage. But in an abusive relationship, it is lopsided. Far too often, you become the one who apologizes for everything, even when you haven't done anything wrong. Beloved, if this is touching home with you, let the Lord lead you and guide you. Then the third thing is, you feel sorry for your spouse even when he or she hurts you. If you recognize and agree with the other points but still rationalize and dismiss your spouse's behavior, you may be in an abusive relationship. Feeling sorry for your spouse is a difficult dynamic to understand and to process. So you know you're being abused, but then you feel sorry for him. Well, you know, he didn't really mean it. His father used to be that way with him, and so that's the way he grew up, and, you know, he doesn't know any better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Making excuses for why they do what they do. We also have signs of subtle emotional abuse. The signs I mentioned above, those are overt. They're right there, you know. But then let's look at behavior that's difficult to spot. This is, your spouse gives you affection, then abruptly takes it away. Your spouse insists things don't happen the way that you see them, or he or she always has a different view of reality. Or what about your spouse assigns motives to your actions that go totally against your intentions? You know, you do something, and you have this in mind when you do it, and your spouse accuses you of doing it for a whole nother reason. That's a subtle form of abuse. You try to explain how you feel, but your spouse is dismissive and blames you for overreacting. Do you feel that one? Do you feel that one? You question your beliefs and your opinions because of what your spouse says and has done to you because of what you believe. So you wonder, you know, am I really saved? Do I really believe that? Whatever the case may be, you edit every word you speak before you speak, changing anything that your spouse could misconstrue. Your relationship suffers from an imbalance of power. Your spouse calls all the shots in the relationship. Most interactions leave you feeling insignificant or ashamed. This is not a complete list, but understand it's a great list for you to use to now you saw the overt, the ones that's very easily to identify. These are the subtle ones, and you may be experiencing some of these things. Seek help, baby, from any form of abuse. Seek help. Seek help from a pastor, from a friend, from a therapist. Don't take abuse lightly, whether it's physical, emotional, or verbal. Don't take it lightly. It's something that you can get. There could be a support group, you know, from your church. There could be a mentor, a friend, a qualified counselor, a support group of individuals who are recovering from similar abusive relationships. If your spouse's behavior escalates and you begin to feel physically unsafe, explore all of your options to assure your safety. Beloved, there is help out there. There is help out there. If you need help, there is a hotline number that you can call, 855-771-HELP. 855-771-HELP. You can call. This is to the Focus on the Family's hotline, their recovery line. They can help you find help that is needed. They can help you. So I pray that as we've shared this information with you today, that if you need to go back and listen to it again, please do not hesitate to do so. Do not hesitate to share it with someone. All of our shows are archived. All of our shows can be pulled up at another time and for you to listen to, for you to take notes from, for you to share with other people. So I pray that you will reach out to someone, touch someone, and let them know that truly they are loved, that they are cared for. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you for the time that we have shared together. I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone on this line that is suffering from emotional or verbal abuse, anyone that has suffered from it, Lord God, knowing anyone that is suffering from it, Father God, Lord, that we will reach out, oh God, and we will touch and we will do everything that we can to help. Lord, I pray for protection. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance of the spirits, oh God, that have connected themselves to the wounded soul. Lord, let the wound be divided from the soul, Lord God, as you did in Hebrews 4 and 12. Lord God, dividing the spirit from the soul, oh God, so that healing could come forth, so that deliverance can come forth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that everything, every spirit must bow to the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that there is safety in your name. God, there is hope for marriages. There's hope for relationships, mother and son, father and daughter, sister and brother, Lord God. There's hope for us in you. So, God, I thank you, I honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, we have come to the end of our time. Take care, be blessed, and know that this has been Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.